talking about demons. What are the demons?
Voices.
Tell me about them. What are the voices about?
It's another voice, the evil side.
Yeah, whatever your name is, Satan.
Gentlemen, welcome back to Evil Examined. We are here coming out of our episode about potentially being plucked out of a parallel universe and placed into another, which I thought that was great, Gene.
Thank you.
But today, Katie's going to be giving us a different type of story, one that's more based in the horrific reality in which we are chained to.
Yeah, but this is like from the early 90s, so it's not really reality anymore.
Oh, shit.
Well, we can go back to a time when things
were cooler.
They were cool and nostalgic.
So cool. So you guys know I'm obsessed with obsession, and this is another story of obsession, but I read a book, you guys.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I did it.
Mm-hmm. Who does that?
I mean, I saw you thumbing through it. I didn't know you had finished it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I finished it, I think. So the book is called Obsessed, The Stalking of Teresa Saldana.
Which we touched on this book a little bit during the Fanatic episode.
Mm-hmm. It was written by Ronald Markman, MD, JD. I don't know what the JD stands for. I know that MD is like medical doctor, but I'm not really sure what JD is.
Jerk dicker.
A jerk dicker? What do you think it is?
Jermaine Dupree.
Ferrari and Jaguar switching four lanes with the top down.
The other guy that wrote, like the co-writer, is Ron LeBrecq. And LeBrecq's an FBI agent who wrote another book called Lost Undercover, an FBI agent's true story.
So. I just picture him like trapped in sheets for some reason.
he's having a tough time. Know what he's undercover meant.
He's in his suit. He's in his suit and everything.
He's like,
they didn't let us use GPS when we're undercover.
Yeah.
And Markman is a forensic psychologist who is still practicing today near like Inglewood area of LA, which I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's not that great.
Inglewood?
Mm-hmm. Huh. But I mean, not to diss on it, but
yo, we got love for Inglewood.
Yo, yeah. I heard there's some gangsters out there. You better watch your ass.
He also wrote Alone with the Devil, Tales of a Courtroom Psychiatrist. And do you guys have any thoughts on this person who's designated to provide mental health evaluations, referring to people on trial that have committed violent, maybe unprovoked acts of violence, calling them the devil? You think that's chill, or he's just trying to sell books?
He's like the Rob Zombie version of Dr. Loomis, you know?
Rob Zombie. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like how Dr. Loomis...
Is that a good thing?
He's like, no, those Rob Zombie movies are fucking god-awful. The second one is utterly hilarious. That's how bad the second one's so bad.
Like,
But not on purpose, right?
No, not on purpose. It's just funny. It's like Rob's. I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but Rob Zombie, like, fucking.
You don't like any of his films?
No, I like a lot of his films, but I think, like, he forces some of these shitbag characters that got to say fuck every third word into movies that it doesn't make sense for sometimes. Like Halloween, it doesn't make sense for that. You know what I mean? And Dr. Loomis making him like this fucking like trashy character, it didn't make sense to me.
Mm.
But The Devil's Eyes is what Dr. Loomis's fictitious book was in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, it's like you're spending all this time with this person that you're supposed to be trying to like help in some way, and then you're still calling them the devil. Granted, they did something terrible, but like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, should they be branded the fallen angel? Probably not.
Anyways, neither one of these authors were involved in the case directly. They wrote the book by compiling information from courtroom transcripts and then interviewing different parties that were involved. But it's not like they ever interviewed Teresa Saldana or her stalker, Arthur Jackson. So it's like when you read the book, you have to take it with a grain of salt that they're like maybe considered experts in their field, but they weren't involved directly. So everything they heard is from somebody else or something else.
Being an expert in psychiatry is kind of like being the smartest retard, you know, in a way.
This guy actually pissed me off when I was reading the book. Like, the book's written, like, in the 90s or something. And the way that he talks about people just pissed me off because he, like, jumps to conclusions and, like, refers to things in a weird way that sound, like, antiquated now. I don't know. So.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of psychiatry in general. It's a lot of opinion, you know, for you to be able to say that, oh, based off this person's responses, like, yes, we know exactly that this works for him and we should put him on these drugs and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like he never even talked to the dude and he's basing all of it. Like, I mean, that's what we do, but we know.
Like, we know we're just assholes. Yeah.
We're not claiming that to have any authority.
We're entertainers. You know what I mean? Like, we are not here to make changes or bring good.
Yeah, we don't really have an impact.
We have zero impact.
A psychiatrist might have more impact to a person's life than...
Something would be wrong if we did have an impact.
Yeah, don't listen to us.
So, the book details about this Scottish man named Arthur Jackson, how he grew up. His dad was an alcoholic and left when Arthur was 9. His mom is described as kind of showing signs of schizophrenia, and he never met his older sister because she was sent to Woodland Institution for Mental Defectives for being a congenital idiot, is what the word was.
What's congenital?
I think it's runs in the family.
So not only did they label her an idiot, but they also buried her whole family with that statement.
So it's like they're all idiots?
Bunch of idiots.
Like, this is back in the day, like before like Geraldo busted all those like mental institutions. Like, people just straight up sent somebody to an institution. They're like, well, bye. Like, we're not dealing with you.
It's like you dump them off. Well, that was why there was the whole mental institution reform. And because, like, you could commit other people. Like, if you had, like, a political enemy, you could conspire, have them committed. You know what I mean? Shit like that, too. So that's why it was unconstitutional, really.
Yeah.
And but now you have the problem of all these people running around in the streets homeless. And it's a no-win, really.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing that I don't think there's like a one-size-fits-all solution for, you know?
No, yeah. I don't know.
So Arthur was a smart, shy kid. He journaled a lot, and he really liked plays and movies. Did you know Aaron was in a play when he was in fourth grade?
No way. What play?
Yeah, I didn't tell you this?
No.
Who was I telling this? Oh, I was with John the Aviator because we were in sixth grade together. And yeah, I played some man, an African-American man in a play.
You were blackface?
We didn't do blackface, no, but I got into the play because I had a crush on a girl. And
She was in a play.
She had the female lead, but then she backed out. Some other girl took it. Everyone in the fucking... They're like, oh, do we want to do this, you know, as a play in the classroom or like a big scale in the auditorium? They're like, yeah, the auditorium. Everyone will be there. I'm like, no, fuck, no. You know, like.
And then your reputation was ruined.
I roped myself into it, you know?
Did you kill the role, though?
Yeah, I killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I can remember is, like, I think there's something about someone being scared of spiders in it.
Sounds like a great play.
Yeah.
Fuck spiders.
So, anyways, he would protest to preserve historical buildings, and that was a trait that carried through to adulthood. When he hit puberty, he became obsessed with the idea that masturbating was bad and meant that he was weak and inferior if he gave in to his desires to do it. So, obsessed with that. He always thought people were teasing him, and eventually he sought psychiatric help. So when he went to this place, these like involuntarily checked himself in. This was in the UK, and they gave him like almost daily shock therapy, which is what they did. Nice. Before they did shock therapy, they used to induce insulin comas in people. So they'd just like inject them until they passed out, and that was like their method used for treating people. And then in the U.S., it's like we just use drugs for these things.
Comas?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And so he was there for like 19 weeks and then got released. And he was also, like, he would get really into certain things. So he became obsessed with this bank robber named Joseph Kretzer, who wound up at Alcatraz. And he was killed during like an inmate-inspired riot. Which I thought was kind of cool. That's a good way to go. So the reason he was obsessed with him is he thinks he knew him in another realm. Maybe a parallel universe. Who knows?
I don't know.
And he thinks that they were... Well, he thinks it was past lives because he thinks that they were like knights of the round table together. So that's...
Like literally?
That's what he thought.
You just have to specify because it sounds so ridiculous, you know?
Well, it's like he's probably schizophrenic. The coolest parts of the book are when he is writing, or like when you get to read his own writing or like quotes from his journals and stuff, because then he'll say things like that. And they kind of make sense, but they kind of don't, you know, like it's like you can follow him. You can tell he's smart and intelligent, but then also it's like, do you really believe this? But they were in journals. So it's like, were you writing this for yourself? You know, like if you wrote something that you knew only you were going to read, you know? Have you guys ever, like, had a diary or written shit down and then tried to read it later?
No, I'm not gay.
No, I haven't either. Messed up.
No, I mean, like, you know what's funny, though? Like, I feel like if you wrote anything like that, you would never read it again. Like, you might say you're going to read it to yourself. Read it again.
Probably be
I go back and read shit again.
I have gone back and not diaries, but like journals.
It's okay. You can open up.
No.
No, like you'll see like an old paper or something and you'll be like, what the fuck is this?
Or like old lyrics and be like, what the fuck was I talking about?
Right. I feel like I never like go back and look at, or very rarely do I go back and look at stuff that I've done and been like, this is awesome.
This is sometimes like brilliant, that happens,
right?
Because you're in a different mindset.
Like, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And like you were so certain back then, but then it's you're
so,
like,
it's so bad.
You're
right?
Shit on them. Like, shit on the person you used to be.
Do you guys think we knew each other in a past life?
Well, we had an episode about past lives, didn't we?
The children who remember past lives.
So it's a weird thing, but it's been debunked. It's possible.
So like what? Like ancient Egypt?
Well, a lot of these kids geographically seem to be in the same area.
Oh, so you guys might have known each other in a past life, but I didn't know you.
Oh, because you're
so... Or is this since it's later on?
I don't know.
This is the next life.
Oh, okay.
You know? We're in the next life right now.
They say your birthmarks are how you die, right? If you have like...
Oh.
I have a huge chunk Like a birthmark right here?
A chunk?
It looked like someone like shot a fucking shotgun to the side of my ribcage.
Damn.
That's how I went in my past life.
Whoa.
Maybe a shark.
Or, yeah, maybe a shark.
Could be a shark.
Do you have any cool ones?
Nah. I probably died of cancer in a past life.
Wait, that probably didn't exist back then.
I mean...
Do you think people died of cancer back then?
I think it was influenced
by the lifestyle that we live now with all this chemicals and shit.
Well, cancer is just like cells reproducing over and over again, right? Like, so I think there was probably cancer before.
It just maybe wasn't able to be diagnosed properly.
And it's like, but I think there probably have been more carcinogens introduced into our lifestyle.
Hmm.
Like how we discover smoking from God. I don't know. I'm just pretending I know. So Arthur, after his treatment, was sent to go live. His mom was kind of like, I don't know if I can deal with you anymore. So sent him to go live with some relatives in Canada. So while he's there, it's like winter in Canada in the middle of cold, I don't know, wherever he was. So he just went, I think he was in Toronto. And so he's like, I'm just going to go to New York. So he goes to, like, New York City, and he just can get through borders without anyone stopping him, because it happens regularly throughout his life. Like, he just kind of, like, fits in, and no one questions him. So not only did he go to New York, like, without kind of registering or anything, being from another country, he joined the United States military, too, somehow, which I think is crazy. So, and served in the military for a while. And he went to Frankfurt. He had a rough time, and he tried to kill himself. He was enamored with another guy that he was working with and didn't feel comfortable. Like, you know that he was always thought, like, masturbation was bad, so he just, like, was kind of trying to be asexual or something, it seemed like. So he landed in the Army psychiatric unit, and they discharged him. And then once he got back to the U.S., he got deported because they finally realized that he was there illegally. And he went back and lived with his mom. And things kind of, like, deteriorated a little bit for them there. They tried to sue the man who lived above them because they were saying that he made noise on purpose and that he was attracting seagulls to the area that would continue to make more noise on purpose. I don't know if they won the lawsuit or not, but you could tell he just, like, gets angry, writes letters a lot.
Did they live near McDonald's?
I don't know.
The seagulls love that shit. Seagulls are always
there. You know? They're there for the fries.
Have you guys ever had an obnoxious neighbor or been the obnoxious neighbor?
Yeah. I would have... Yeah, like, the upstairs neighbors were, like, stomp, like, tap dance and shit. Middle of the night and shit.
Yeah, definitely. Terrible, terrible neighbors.
You like hit the ceiling with a broom, and then they'll tap dance even more to the beat of your broom.
People that fight, people that scream at each other.
Mm.
That's the worst.
One time we were playing DDR for the Wii because they had like these rollout pads you could use. And the guy that we lived above came, like, we weren't drinking, we weren't doing any drugs, nothing. The guy that lived downstairs came upstairs and, like, knocked on the door super angrily. And he was like, stop stomping around, I'm going to call the cops. It's like, okay. So we tried to be quieter when we were, like, playing it, but it's hard. You just get really into it sometimes, you know?
We had one morning where no one could sleep. May have been drug induced. And it was like 4 a.m. We're like playing the guitar and like fucking singing. Like, yeah, you know, like. And then we lived on the third floor. And the dude comes up from the first floor and bangs on the door. And he's like, Aaron, it's 4 in the fucking morning. And I'm like, yeah, it is. You know, we'll pack it in. You know, I hear you. You know.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. We packed it in
after that.
Respect.
It was the right thing to do. We were the assholes, like most situations.
Yeah.
But he was nicer about it than Your neighbor.
Yeah, ours was really mean. And he jumped. Ours was at a reasonable time. And he also, like, tacked on something like, you park in my parking spot one more time. You know what I mean?
Were you parking in it?
No.
Well, it's
so he's just making shit up.
It's just like, an asshole move to, like,
his name was Steve
to the...
Miller, too. So that was always weird. It's like, sounds okay, like Steve douche. Miller.
Sounds like a band.
It is.
Steve Miller Band.
Back to Arthur. So he was also really obsessed with movies. And so he would, like, every time he goes to a movie, he would, like, detail in his journal, like, what happened in it and stuff. And where he saw it and everything, like, details. Like, just writes down everything. And he found this actress, Teresa Saldana, captivating. And he's, like, really good at traveling on the cheap. Like, he would fly into an airport, like, the London Heathrow Airport is, like, kind of far away from, like, the city part. Like, he would walk, like, 14 miles rather than, like, take a cab or a bus or something just to save the money. And he would, like, eat, like, I don't know, like, ketchup packets and just shit like that to, like, get around and, like, sleep at YMCAs. Like, he traveled on the cheap, but he went all around the country and shit. Like,
he's kind of living the dream.
That's dope.
Yeah, like, doesn't have
I mean, aside from the packets, you should definitely go with Taco Bell packets.
Hot sauce.
They can save you. It's they can true. Save your life in a
we
pinch.
We know this.
We know that.
See the
we
Taco Bell that. Miracle.
So he makes his way over to California, and he called Teresa Saldana's mom and said, oh, hey, I'm Martin Scorsese. It's like, I work with Martin Scorsese. I need Teresa's phone number and her address so that I can, like, offer her this role. And the mom's like, okay, and gives the address and everything. But then he had called another friend earlier who of Teresa's who didn't, like, give up the information, didn't give the deets, and called her and was like, this really creepy guy called asking for your number and stuff. So,
wow.
And the mom's like, oh, I gave this guy your number, like, all excited, you know?
Oh, my God.
So she wound up, like, Teresa Saldana, like, goes outside, whatever. She's doing her thing. She was kind of, like, afraid of him at this point. She doesn't know who he is, what he looks like. She just has, like, this weird gut instinct that, like, someone's looking for her. Not more than a gut instinct. Like, she knows somebody's looking for her. Doesn't really know why or who they are or anything. Leaving her house, a guy runs up to her and says, are you Teresa Saldana? And she's like, yeah. And then he stabs her like 30-something times. When some guy who was like delivering water bottles hears her screaming like in the neighborhood, runs over and kind of like detains him. And other people are around too. And they call some people so that help can come and take her to the hospital and things. So this guy was luckily around, intervened, wound up saving her life. She didn't die from all the stab wounds, but she had scars all over.
How do you not die from 30?
I don't know. 30 like,
plus wounds.
Yeah, or like 20 times. If that makes a big difference, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, so it was 20 or 30?
It was 20.
Okay, that's a big difference.
If
that's 10 stabs.
Yeah.
I wonder why, like, if she was that afraid of some random guy, do you think she would, like, say, no, I'm not her? I would have.
Right? Like, he, like, checked first, even though he knows exactly what she looks like.
How did he become obsessed with her, though?
Just from watching her in a movie. And he thought she was, like, innocent and shit. And then she was in another movie where she wasn't, she's not that innocent. And he was like, ugh. Now I must right the wrongs in the world, and I need to be the one to kill her so we can be together and be innocent together.
Oh, baby, baby.
And so he thought he was going to kill her and that he would get the death penalty.
Is that
and he really
Bjork
wanted
dude
it.
All over again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny because the Bjork dude was obsessed with his book, with the book she's covering, the obsessed book.
Oh.
Like in the video, remember he's holding the obsessed book?
That's oh, why. Yeah. That's why I wanted to read it because I thought that guy was so like interesting.
You were gonna say cool.
Nah.
I mean, if cool's being like 400 pounds, shaving your head, painting your face, blowing your fucking head on the wall,
it's
cool as shit.
I just wanted to like compare the patterns between them, I guess, you know? Kind of see what they're like, if there's anything with these celebrity stalkers, you know?
The similarities being that, yeah, they get their visions shattered. Well, it's weird because Bjork in Bjork's situation, it was like a real event. She was dating someone. Mm-hmm. This guy's basing it off movies, like a fucking
yeah. Right.
Like I can't imagine what he thinks of pro wrestling. Like, can you imagine?
Oh gosh, I don't know. But it's like
if a wrestler cheats in the match. He's like, yes, fucking cheat. Yeah. I'm gonna kill him.
Oh god. That'd be insane. But then wrestlers can fight back, like, especially for themselves, right?
That's true. Body slam them.
So, poor fucking Miss Saldana, this actress. Like, your face is your meal ticket, right? So, her acting career started to dissolve. Her marriage dissolved, too. Like, the guy just couldn't get it. Like, I don't know. She lived in fear every day that this guy, like, she was just freaked out, major PTSD. She hired some private security, and she wound up getting remarried, and she started to work to advocate for victims. One of the things that she did was make a made-for-TV movie about her experience that she starred in, and I watched it, and it was really not that great. But she there was a lot movie? Of interesting... Yeah,
like, she was in it?
Yeah, she starred as herself in it.
So was that like her last, like, final kind of role?
I think she tried to do a couple other things since then, but that was really what it is. But
it's
she kind of really,
sad, right? Like, it to is go out sad. On the fucking thing that took you out. Like, it's weird.
I mean, wait, and then
ironic. This guy got arrested.
Right, yeah, right he away? Got arrested, okay. And he's like, and they went to trial and stuff. She testified, and he's in jail. But she's still afraid every day because of him. But like in. It's like got all this weird stuff like in it where she was trying to like, I guess she didn't make that much money. So after this happened, she had all these medical bills, which is like, it's not her fault that she got attacked, but no one's going to pay for this. Right, like insurance only covered. Well, her mom did feel very guilty about it, but they went over how she didn't blame her mom because he was very determined. He would have found another way to do it. But it's crazy. Like, someone attacks you, and then you can't pay your medical bills for being attacked. And right. You can't pay your rent because you can't have a job because your livelihood was taken away. Like, it affected the trajectory of her life dramatically.
And it's like, he didn't kill her. He just almost ruined her entire life. Like, killed her career, killed everything else, her marriage.
And it's like, you can't sue him civilly because he's a... degenerate derelict.
Yeah.
You know, like a nomad.
He has nothing.
He's a nomad, right? He just fucking wanders, eating ketchup packets.
Mad cheap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not masturbating.
he has nothing to fucking give.
So he's in he's in California jail, right? Like, we got here's I'll give you my 20 ketchup packets. Fine. Restitution right here.
Oh God.
When you're in jail in California, I guess you're allowed correspondence at that time. He didn't get to be put in Alcatraz like he wanted to be. So he's writing these letters, and he's writing them to like Scotland Yard and to like different British tabloids and newspapers and stuff, saying that he has information that would lead to the arrest of like a perpetrator in a murder from 20 years before. And so they're like, okay. And he's putting in details of the crime that they're like, that are enough where he believes them. So it's like, there's this question where it's like, okay, is he crazy enough to like have just kept all these detailed notes about everything? Or does he actually know something? Or
more than likely, he's just bored though, right? Is that what you feel like?
Nope.
Yo.
So he actually was the murderer of this guy like 20 years earlier. He tried to commit his own bank robbery, and he wrote a note and had a knife. And like he hands this teller a knife or the note, and he's like, fill up the bag, whatever. Start right now. Don't try anything funny kind of shit. Like it was kind of what he wrote on there.
Cliche.
But then... he handed them a paper bag and said that like the person working there started filling the bag up with coins. Which I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. So of course the bag breaks and he is like, okay. And someone set an alarm after the bag broke. And so he runs away. The people in the bank, after seeing this guy, because he's not very intimidating and by any means, he just looks like dorky.
Dorky, but stab your ass 20 times, dorky.
Right, but she's tiny, so it's like, you know.
Who's tiny?
The Teresa Saldana that he stabbed.
Don't take a, you know. Right. You don't got to be big with a knife.
It's true. So he's running away from this, robbery, and the people are chasing him that were at, like, working at the bank. And one of the guys that was, like, around there working is running him down. But he had a gun in his pocket. Arthur Jackson did. And so this guy finally catches him. And he shot someone in the arm. And another guy kept going after him. Catches him. And he's like, let me go kind of thing. You know? And he just shot the guy. Just shot him and killed him. And left him there. And no one ever found him. No one ever suspected him of the murder. It was never solved. So for 20 years, like, that guy's wife and children, the guy that had been murdered, like, had just kind of, like, tried to move on past that without knowing, like, who did that and why, sort of thing.
I thought you were going to say, like, when he went into the bank, he's like, give me the ketchup packets.
Right.
That would have been awesome. Right? Yeah.
But so... they're trying to, like, so Scotland Yard wants to, like, get more information on this because everything that he's telling them, they kind of, like, found all this, like, rock-solid evidence about it. And they're like, all right, like, he committed murder. We need to extradite him back over here and, like, jail him for murder. But Teresa Saldana and her private security are here where he's in jail and he's only going to be in there for, like, 15 years. But he wrote her another death threat from jail, too, since he's allowed to have correspondence. So, of course, he just is going to keep writing her death threats because, you know what I mean? Wow. It's his only goal in life is to kill her and then be sentenced to death. And she wants him to stay.
It's probably an achievable goal, though, you know?
She wants him to stay in California and not go back to England. And it's like, dude, if he goes back there, he'll be in jail for murder. Here, he's only in jail for fucking attempted murder because you survived. And so it's like he's not going to be there for that long. And he always got like the good behavior thing. But she didn't want him to be transferred there.
Why?
Because of the influence of her private security. And I know they had like, it kind of sounds like they had like some politicians in their pocket too. And they had done all this work for victims. And if you think about it, that guy is her only tie to like any kind of fame as an actress anymore because of everything she'd gone through, you know?
Just seems weird.
Was she stabbed in the face? Is that why she lost her acting roles and stuff?
I mean, I think, and then just traumatized.
Wow.
Also, I don't think she was very good. But wow. like, would you feel more comfortable having someone who attacked you in a jail that was closer to you or in one that was, like, very far across the country?
Very far.
Or, like, in a different country?
Depends on my mind state. If this guy ruined me and I have nothing left, I probably want him to come out so I can murder him myself.
Mm. Do you think that she was really thinking that, though? I mean, maybe.
I would. I'd be like, come out.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's like, I feel like either way, you would kind of like get to keep tabs on what was going on with him, you know? And I'd rather have him be further. But he is able to get in and out of the country so easily without anyone like,
yeah, he's done it before,
raising an alarm. So,
well, but if it's game over if he goes to Scotland Yard, though, he's not getting out.
Yeah, it's right. Murder, right?
That's what makes it bizarre to me. You know what I mean?
It's pretty much like a lock in. Like, they would still have to try him once they got there. But it was like pretty much like an open shut sort of deal is how it was explained.
It's like, okay, you might have nothing left, but do you want to have nothing left and be in prison and deal with scum the rest of your life after you kill this guy? Or would you rather send him to a place where he's permanently in jail?
I feel like.
If my life was ruined, I would just like torture him for like a couple of years, just disappear. Torture him for a couple of years, and then just burn down the place, inject myself with a numbing agent, and just go out with him.
So don't fuck with JP, guys, just so you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, like...
there's a lot of detail in that off-the-whim agent. Clean. plan there.
Yeah. That's the story.
Yeah.
That's the story?
That's the story.
Oh, cool.
He's still, I think he died. She died too. She was like 61, but he lived till he was like 79. He was like 45 by the time that he had stabbed her, and she was like younger. So just crazy shit.
And she died before him.
Yeah.
That's a sad one.
That's sad.
I mean, there's sad parts, but and like his whole life growing up is kind of sad too, you know?
Why? What was that like?
His life of like the alcoholic father and like the schizophrenic mother.
Oh yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
All this stuff.
What was it? What was it?
Congenital idiot. Genitals. Is what they, genitals. Yeah.
Congenitals.
He's a genital idiot.
I mean, like.
He got a dumb dick. What were you gonna say? Sorry, I'm sorry.
I don't know. It was like it's just hard. I mean, you guys are very familiar with being. Or mental illness, right? Like, I just like the whole treatment of it, especially like if someone like does commit crimes, it's just, you know, interesting.
No, it's a weird, it's a weird thing because, and especially at that time in the country, right? Like that was like you said, that was before all the asylum stuff, right?
This was like during asylum period.
Yeah, but
he had been in so many, but now we're post asylum.
They cleared them all out, but
oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fucked up, dude. Like, there's no. That's the biggest thing in America, in my opinion, personally. Mental health, mm-hmm. And how there's just no answer. Absolutely no answer.
There's just not very many answers anymore.
And I don't know if it's just, if you can say it's just America. I'm not enough familiar with other countries really and like their practices with mental health, but I mean, I could say
insulin comas.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
I could say just letting them roam free on the streets homeless is probably not the best way to go.
Well, going back to one of your stories before about like Canada, was it Canada?
Yeah, that guy that cut the dude's head off, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that in U.S., so maybe we're not that bad.
That was like an old story, and we were like, we might have mentioned that in the first episode actually, and we were like, what? You know, the doctor's like, no, he's fine. We're gonna let him out. Yeah. And we were like, well, why don't you fucking stay with him for 3 months? Let him stay at your place. If he's okay.
Yeah. Give him the trial period.
Fucking dude, cut someone's head off, ate their eyes and tongue and ears or whatever. And then he's out in a year?
Yeah.
A year. Not much more to say about that.
Yeah.
What's the name of the book, though, again? It's pretty hard to find. We got a hardcover copy online. It was the last one at the time, but would you recommend this book? Or
no. Oh, shit. I cannot in good faith recommend this book, but I think it's interesting. And it does take you down some different like rabbit holes and stuff. But it's just the guy... The psychologist or psychiatrist, whatever he is, writing about it just made me so annoyed. Like, if there was a way to just read Arthur Jackson's stuff without commentary from, I don't know, a psychiatrist, like he doesn't actually point to things in it. So it's like, it would have been nicer to see someone do like an actual analysis of it, I feel like.
This was like a cheap capitalization.
It does feel that way. And it's like weird because it's like they've both written other books. Like, I don't know. And they didn't actually talk to or weren't involved with the people. It's weird. A little weird.
You know who disagrees with you, though?
Who?
Ricardo Lopez. Ricardo Lopez loves this book.
That's true.
He recommends it.
Who's that?
You watched this video.
The Bjork stalker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Number one fan.
But guys, Are we getting ready for the third season of Evil Examined?
Hell yeah.
I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
Because we have some cataclysmic announcements that will go down to kick off the fourth season. Third season.
The three.
I almost went to parallel universe.
The
right
Trinity.
There. Yeah, this is the season, the unholy Trinity season.
Oh
yeah.
Shit!
Yeah, we're gonna have to get some cool artwork done up for that. But
it's gonna be even more. You thought the last two seasons were sick
and perverse. This is something else.
You're about to learn today.
We hope you enjoyed what it was like a 7-week hiatus. Essentially, we had. Didn't we do the fortune teller one too? So yeah, it was like an 8-week hiatus, I think, or something that we've been on. But we're still putting out this content. But now we're going to be going back to the standard show format.
The real filth.
But like we said, there's an announcement underway. So be prepared, people. Be prepared. And check out Dark Assembly on Amazon and it's on Kindle and paperback. That's Dark Assembly by Adam Portogold. And check out www.evilexamined.com for all of our content. We'll try to put some stuff up if we can. Is there anything, maybe that made-for-TV movie we could put on the website for people?
I can.
It's so bad. It's so bad. But you may want to watch it. You know, if you're listening to this show,
you know, maybe, if you're interested in like victim support groups, like, you know, yeah, I'll put it up there.
I got a feeling I'll be putting it up there. But everyone, we thank you for joining us on the Evil Examined podcast. Have a great one.
Bye.
Or anybody else was in there against their will.